I read a story this week of a Chinese student who was studying in America. But before she went to America, she had studied at university in China. And it was in China that she became a Christian. She told her story of how she was in her university in China, and she was studying maths and science. But she got into a habit of going to the library to take a break from maths and science, to read something else. And as you do if you're a maths and science student, she went and read in the philosophy section. And there, she found a religion section. And in the bottom of the religion section in China, she found a little book, Holy Bible. So she picked it up. She was fascinated. And she got into a habit of every day going to the library, picking out this Bible, and just reading a little bit of it. And she started at Genesis. One day, she didn't read. And so she kind of missed it. And that got her thinking. And so she went back to reading her Bible. Or the Bible, not her Bible, but the Bible in the library. And she read these words from Genesis chapter 8, 11. And the dove came to him toward evening time, and there in her beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had abated from the earth. She read that verse, and it was that verse that convinced her that she wanted to become a Christian. Work that one out. But that started her on a searching journey. I don't know the rest of the story, who she met, how it happened, but she did become a Christian. How? Just because she read from the Bible, and the Spirit spoke to her from the Bible, and this verse, which we read quite rightly as part of the story of Noah, somehow imprinted itself on her and convinced her that she wanted to become a Christian. Truly, God's Spirit works mysteriously. But actually, that takes us to one of the features of the church in Africa, where the Bible and preaching and confidence in the Bible and preaching are at the center of what they do. Confidence that God can use the Bible to change lives. Because there, in a Chinese university, a young woman read the Bible, and the bits of the Bible that we struggle to deal with, those early passages in Genesis, and we would say, don't start at Genesis, start in a gospel. Nobody told her that. And she read it and decided, I want to be a Christian. And years later, she was at a tea table in America telling this story of how this had happened. And the experience of the church in Africa is that the Bible and preaching, which unpacks the Bible, changes lives, and has been a significant factor in the growth of the church there, has been one of those six or seven major factors identified as the reason for the growing church in Africa. And so, it's appropriately, we meet an Ethiopian official. Now, in the as we read the Bible now, Ethiopia then, this actually refers to what we would talk of as Sudan nowadays. And the portion of land that this official, we'll talk of him as the Ethiopian official, was coming from, was a prosperous trade center. Iron and gold were traded. And so this Ethiopian treasurer, well, he was responsible for a growing economy. And so actually, as he came to Jerusalem, he was coming from a thriving economy to worship God. We're not really sure why he was coming to worship God. What led him? It's clear that from the passage that he didn't fully understand who it was he was worshiping. And yet he had been up to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, one of the interesting things about this Ethiopian is he is described in the passage as an Ethiopian eunuch. That's an official, but also he was a eunuch. And actually, under the Levitical law, he wouldn't have been allowed into the heart of the temple to worship. He would have been regarded as unclean. And yet, there he was, he went, and he worshipped. And he was reading his scroll, as we pictured earlier, trying to make sense of what all of this was about. Who was this God that's referred to? And who was this in the passage? And meanwhile, you have Philip. And if you look through the Bible, and I would encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to just reach out and get a Bible and open it at Acts chapter 8, because you'll find it helpful as we go along. There's one in the seat behind you, page 1101. You'll find at various points in that passage different references. Firstly, you'll hear at the beginning of it, the angel of the Lord said to Philip. So God spoke, and it's pictured as an angel spoke to him. And then in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip. And then later on, we read of the Spirit taking Philip away. And to our Western rationalist minds, we struggle with that. Angels, the Spirit speaking, and we get all caught up in that. But actually, simply what the Bible is saying is God spoke to him. And one verse it's presented as an angel, and another bit it's presented as the Spirit took him, and later on it's presented as the Spirit took him away. And the point is not to get hung up in the angels or how did the Spirit speak to him, but the point to get hung up on is God spoke to him and he listened. We might present it in our modern context as God told me. And in our kind of Western rationalist society, somebody says, God told me. And sometimes alarm bells ring for us. God told me. How? Did you get writing in the sky? Did an angel come and sit in your shoulder? How did it happen? And because of our rationalist assumptions, we actually create problems that don't exist. God told me. Well, it might have been through something that we read in our scripture reading. And it might be through something that somebody says to us in a conversation or in church or in a small group. Problem is, we run a million miles away from that phrase, God told me, because it has been used to justify some awful things. But actually, God told me appears right throughout Scripture. And using our template of the church in Africa, they would certainly have no difficulty with the idea of God told me, God was speaking to me. And so we need to be open to the voice of God. Don't shut out the possibility that God speaks to us in different ways. Sometimes through the Bible reading, a particular thing that God may say to you from it. Just as he said to a Chinese Christian now, you need to become a Christian. When she read this verse about a dove, where did you get that from? Well, actually, the Spirit of the Lord, God told me. And so Philip was open to the Lord, listening to the Lord. And we need to be the same, attuned to him, acknowledging, actually, God does still speak to me. If I have a one-to-one relationship with God, why wouldn't he speak to me? Whether it be through Scripture or somebody else. It would be much stranger if I couldn't say at any time, well, God spoke to me about this situation and told me I had to do such and such. That would be a mighty strange relationship if God didn't communicate. And so we need to lose our suspicion of God said to me. And we need to increase our expectation of God said to me. It led Philip to be in the right place at the right time. But Philip, in many ways, wasn't the obvious person. The Ethiopian was an important official. Philip was ordinary. Now, with our biblical mindset, we tend to think of Philip as the big player in this, and the Ethiopian official as the ordinary Jew. But it's the other way around. Philip was the ordinary Jew, and the Ethiopian official, he was the big player. And as we think about the surprise of this important guy listening to somebody humble saying, "Can you explain to me what this is about?" It's helpful to think of that in global terms, in the global church. We have been so used to being the dominant church, as it were, in the West, that we kind of still have the mindset that we expect to be the ones doing the teaching. We expect to be the ones giving the Africans or the Latin Americans what they need. But actually, when you look at the statistics earlier on, we need to change our mindset. And that's why it's healthy that we sit and say, we want to learn from you. Yes, we've had the privilege of sending out missionaries in previous centuries and still doing so. But we don't do so from a position of superiority. At times in our thinking or in our communications, there's the kind of hidden subtext, Lord, please let the African church or the Latin American church or the poor church, wherever it is, catch up on us, the sophisticated Western church. And God says, you've got all that one wrong. Why don't you catch up on them? And so this Ethiopian official was able to learn from the most surprising, in his world, person. Just an ordinary guy who turned up. And so we need to be willing to learn from unexpected places. Lose our superiority complex. Lose our kind of mindset, enlightenment mindset that says the West has got all the answers. Our history is not very good in that. And instead, be humble and learn from the church in Africa, from the church wherever we have lessons to learn from it. And so this Ethiopian learned, and he asked Philip, who is this? And of course, it's a very obvious evangelistic passage. And he was able to ask the kids at the front, and after a couple of minutes, they were able to work out, oh yeah, that's Jesus that he's talking about. But the passage that we started with today, about a dove, that's not an obvious evangelistic passage. Somebody asked me to preach a kind of evangelistic sermon. Never in a month of Sundays would I go there. And what that tells us is that all of Scripture ultimately points to Jesus. Philip couldn't say to this Ethiopian official, why don't you start with Mark's gospel? There's a very simple gospel that you start with. Because Mark's gospel wasn't around. And so he was confined to the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament as we know it. And what did he find? It pointed to Jesus. And without the Old Testament, the New doesn't make sense. And so right throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New, you will find it all points to Jesus. I hope that one of the things that story that I've come back to time and time again about the Chinese Christian does for you is that it just increases your confidence in the Bible. That it says, actually, God's Spirit can speak from wherever he wants it to in the Bible because it's his word. that it all points to Jesus. And I hope also that it increases your confidence in the Bible and preaching. Because what God did was took this guy to Isaiah and planted the questions in his mind. And then brought Philip along to answer those questions. Now what I'd like you to do with your Bible is just flick back a few pages. And you'll see in Acts chapter 6, the church's strategic movement. There, Philip was amongst those set aside, not to do the preaching, but actually to do the accountancy, the finance, and the tea and coffee rota, and the welcome rota. And God didn't bring high-flying Paul alongside this chariot, but brought the guy from the welcome rota and from the finance committee alongside and said, why don't you do the preaching? Why don't you do the unpacking of the Bible? And so there, what God has done is brought his word together with somebody to unpack it. And at the heart of the growth of the church throughout the centuries, we see it in Africa today, we saw it in the Reformation in this country, we've seen it in revivals throughout the world, has been the story of the Bible and preaching going together. Fundamental to church growth. And God says to us, don't lose confidence in those. Make them relevant. Make them touch people's everyday lives. Set them where people are. But don't lose sight that it's God's word that does the business. And it's God's Spirit who does the convicting. And so, to be a growing church, the Bible and preaching that unpacks what the Bible says is at the heart of what we do. And if you take that back to Acts chapter 6, what you'll notice too is that there the church sat down and put together a strategy. The church was growing so fast that they needed a strategy to cope with their growth. They remembered that God had told them that they had the responsibility to preach throughout the world. And so they said, we need to set aside the preachers and we need to set aside the people who will do the practical work. And then what happens in chapter 7 and following is Stephen, one of the welcome team, finance committee, practical board members, whatever you want to call them, is executed for his faith. And persecution breaks out. And the strategy which they have so beautifully put in place seems to be blown out of the water. And God says, that was a good strategy to put in place. You were right to do that. But now I'm going to take that strategy and apply it in a slightly different way. Persecution will break out. And people are spread right throughout the ancient world. Not necessarily out of choice, but out of necessity. And meanwhile, God brings an Ethiopian official and Philip together and says, here's my word. Here's somebody unpacking my word. And here's somebody coming to faith. And all of the strategy was good, was worthwhile to do. But ultimately, it was God's Spirit that did the work. And it was confidence that points to, see those verses in Isaiah, the suffering servant? That's Jesus. And it's Jesus who changes lives. And see that dove, the story of the dove? Well, you can point that to the Holy Spirit at work. And it all tells us that this book that I've been encouraging you to get out and to leaf through the pages is not something dead that we just follow in church on Sunday, but it's something that changes us. And you know what? The Bible needs to convert us day by day by day. It's true that we come to faith once, it's a once experience, but we need to be reconverted time after time. I'm not speaking about coming from outside to in, but I'm speaking about having areas of our lives challenged and changed. And you need to have that experience of just opening your Bible and sometime God saying to you, there's a particular word for you in this situation. And you won't have that experience if you don't either listen to the Bible by audio or reading it or something. And if we don't have the Bible at the center of our ongoing lives, I'm not even going to call it devotional lives because that's too easy to put into a separate pocket over there. That's the religious bit. But just our ordinary lives, well, we won't have that experience. Now, let me tell you, it's so exciting sometimes that just something hits you, bang, and you say, Lord, I never saw that before. And I've been reading this passage dozens and dozens of times, and the Spirit just prompts you. And because we are so familiar with the Bible, and because I bang on about it from the front and all that kind of stuff, we lose our excitement. And you go to a church in Africa, some folks here have been there, and we laugh about preparing for a long service. But at the heart of that is excitement. Excitement that this is God's word. And it changes lives. And it brings us to Jesus. And so one of the lessons that we can learn from this story of the Ethiopian eunuch, from the story of our Chinese student, from the story of the church in Africa, is that just engaging with the Bible turns things upside down. And we should expect it to happen. Don't be surprised when it happens. And for that to happen, we've got to do the humdrum stuff of 6 days out of seven, or 2 days out of three, or even 30 days out of 31. The Bible reading feeling a bit routine and a bit, oh, that's interesting. For those bang moments that, wow, that's speaking to me in my situation here and now about what I'm facing tomorrow or what I did yesterday or whatever the situation is.